From the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as 7 times?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him, throttled him, started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had him put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?' Then, in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart." Whenever I hear this gospel story, I think that this time, maybe the servant will understand and get it right. But when he grabs the fellow who owes him money and throttles and chokes him, well, once again I sigh and know what will happen next. Here's a question. Is divine patience limited? The parable suggests that the mercy in the story is all contingent on it being passed on to others. But what of the patience in the story? This seems to have a definite limit as well, with drastic consequences. One source suggests that it is Matthew's way of making the Lord's Prayer vivid. Vivid it is, handed him over to the torturers until he could repay the debt. So what of divine patience and praying for patience? We already know how limited our own patience is. We are surrounded on all sides of our world by conflict and divisions raging throughout our world because, among other things, there is little or no patience to negotiate peace. Today, Muqtada al-Sadr extended the ceasefire in Iraq. The whole Western world breathed a sigh of relief, and I could not help but think of this parable, patience, mercy, and compassion that was within it. Who knows why al-Sadr made this decision, but thank God he did. I would like to think it is in response to the power of prayer. Knowing how the whole Dominican family has held Iraq in our hearts and prayer for so long, and making the peace our particular focus of our Lenten prayer. Could it be that the power of prayer is affecting the situation? Might it be that the power of prayer is flowing into al-Sadr's heart and mind? After all, he is a prayerful man himself. Could all the prayer flowing from the Muslims and the Christians and the Buddhists and all the others, could that prayer be coming together into peace? The gospel story hands us a dilemma of forgiving others as we forgive ourselves. It presents us with the phrase, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." The Lord's Prayer does become vivid. I realized listening to this story again that I was ready to throttle Mukhtar al-Sadr. Over these last few days, waiting to know whether or not a ceasefire was going to happen. And yet, just yesterday, I asked God's forgiveness for my inability to declare a ceasefire of my own against a member of my local community. That might sound funny, but if you hear what I just said, it's not funny at all. And you understand that, do you not? How can we be a prayerful people and yet resist efforts to change a relationship that is fraught with conflict? I have been choosing to resist efforts to warm a relationship that has grown stale by my Chilean difference in resistance. It seemed important to hand it to God in prayer, but note the phrase I used, chilly indifference. In my heart of hearts, I could care less if the dynamics of the relationship would change. How do I know this? Because when I heard that there was a possibility of a renewal of ceasefire in Iraq, I was cynical, to say the least. I was impatient with al-Sadr, and my mercy and compassion towards this man were mean and empty, to say the least. Conceptually, you and I know what we have to do. Our minds make sense of it. It is our hearts that we have to act out of. How do we now allow all of this to seep into our hearts in such a way that it becomes how we act? How do we take the efforts of conflict resolution in our own homes and allow them to be part of the conflict resolutions throughout the world? We must believe they're connected. We must believe in the power of prayer. This is where divine mercy and compassion and patience flow into our lives in answer to our prayers. God spills the divine patience and mercy and compassion into our lives really and truly, and there is power there. And while it is spilling into our lives, there's a reverberation of it throughout the world. We have to say peace and mean peace. We have to pray peace and breathe peace. We have to pray peace and act peace. This is how peace can flow into our world. Maybe this time, as we hear the gospel story, we will be the ones to get it right. We will acknowledge the infinite mercy that surrounds us, and we will long to offer it to that one person who just gets under our skin and manages to destroy any positive thought in our mind and heart. This person is not just a pain in our side. This person is the other debtor, and the world is waiting for our response.